Hi, folks, and welcome to the Empowering Dietitians podcast, where each week I explore a different topic to help you feel more confident and connected to your work as a dietitian. I'm your host, Jess Serdikoff-Ramola, a registered dietitian, dietitian supervisor, and owner of Empowering Dietitians, where I help burnt out and unhappy dietitians opt out of hustle culture and reclaim their passion and purpose as a human first and dietitian second. After all, we are all more than a dietitian. This is one of those pull back the curtain episodes. You know the ones where shit hits the fan and I have an upsetting or troubling experience. And then I tell you all about it because I hate that we live in a society that makes it seem like a faux pas to admit when you're having a hard time. In this episode, I'm going to share a full day in the life, as in a day where things felt particularly bleak and hard and heavy, and exactly what I did to get myself through it. And I have to emphasize, a lot of what I did on this particular day was individual. I'm a very introspective and introverted person, and I need a lot of time and space to myself when I'm processing big emotions and thoughts. But know that everyone, even the most introverted and introspective among us, we need community as well. You do not need to go through hard times on your own. Building a community around yourself is crucial, whether that community is comprised of friends, family, colleagues, supervisors, therapists, clergy people, or any combination of the above. And if you're struggling, please reach out to myself, to a hotline, to someone you trust. You're not alone. It was a Monday. It was a Monday, I should specify, after a very long, very emotionally taxing weekend. There was a death in the family the week before. Not unexpected by any means, but of course, we all know that doesn't make it easy. And it came hot on the heels of the anniversary of my grandmother's passing last March in 2022, bringing with it all of the resurfaced grief that comes with that, to commingle with new, fresh grief and processing. To anyone who may be concerned while you're listening, I am very okay. I can assure you. This episode is not about that, the loss per se, but knowing the weekend that I was emerging from, it's not surprising by any means that I had the Monday that I did. I do, though, before going into that, want to pause and acknowledge anyone else who may be experiencing grief of their own. Again, that isn't what today's episode is about either, but I cannot get over how many humans in my life have lost a loved one over the past few weeks. It seems every day I hear about another funeral to attend. And honestly, that starts to feel heavy, even if you didn't have a close relationship with the individuals who have passed. So if you're in the thick of it, or despairing as a bystander who keeps hearing about these losses day in and day out, I see you. Go easy on yourself. Suffice it to say, I walked into that Monday feeling heavy to begin with. On top of it all, it was day 22 of my cycle, a notoriously low energy time for me. And what had I designated that day? None other than podcast script writing day. In other words, I chose a task that is tedious, may not be the exact right word for it, but time-consuming and exhausting, one that demands more creative energy from me than perhaps any other business-related task that I perform. On day 22 of my cycle after spending an entire weekend supporting loved ones who were grieving. You can probably already tell how well the script writing went. I'll give you a hint. I didn't write this script on that Monday. In fact, I didn't write a damn thing on that Monday. I got an early start to the day. I felt great. I sat down at 9 a.m. thinking, I'm starting an hour earlier than I planned. Not only am I going to get through my to-do list for the day, but I'm going to finish early. If you believe in a higher power, I'm sure that they were laughing at me in that very moment. Because I then proceeded to sit and stare at my computer for 40 minutes. I couldn't think of a single thing to talk about. Not one. As the clock ticked closer to 10 a.m., I realized I couldn't keep sitting there. I posted a question sticker on Instagram thinking maybe someone would have a question or a concern that could help spark an episode. I reached out after that to one of my support communities to share that I was experiencing what I was calling writer's block. And then the volcano erupted. I don't know what came first, the existential crisis or the writer's block, whether the block I was experiencing triggered a rabbit hole of doom and gloom about the business, or if some underlying anxieties about the business were putting up the block to begin with. But either way, shit hit the fan. We have to remember I was exhausted. I was mentally and physically and emotionally exhausted that day. And I was staring down the barrel of an exceptionally long week full of late night meetings and social obligations, and knew that I wasn't going to get a reprieve anytime soon. And that was enough. That was enough to get my psyche to boil over in despair. And I experienced that moment that business owners in particular, though I would imagine many dietitians in general as well, have encountered. The everything is broken and I'm so tired of trying to force this business to work. Nothing like a big old dose of catastrophizing to start the week off, right? I try to be open on all of my platforms about how hard running a business is because it's so damn glamorized on social media. And I know that when I speak out and say, hey, this shit is hard, and I think about quitting, especially during the hard financial months. I think about quitting quite often. When I'm honest about my own challenges, my clients and other dietitians realize that they aren't alone. And guess what? They've thought about quitting too. Now, maybe there are people out there whose businesses have reached a certain level of homeostasis, some stability and reliability, and maybe those people don't hit these moments of like, WTF did I sign up for? Or at least they don't experience them quite as often. But from what I've gathered from listening to and talking to many, many business owners, this is a pretty normal experience. So there I was on a Monday, sitting in front of my laptop, sobbing. And it became quite clear in that moment that I wasn't going to be writing any podcast scripts that day. And so I want to tell you what I did do instead. Now, maybe you have a moment like this, exactly as I did as a business owner. Maybe not, but maybe you're experiencing some similar emotional breakdown, some staggering moment of self-doubt that's got you in a vice grip of tears and dejection. I want to tell you what I did to hopefully give you some ideas of how you might be able to move forward. First and foremost, I texted both Justin and the little support pod I have. Shout out to Celestina Brunetti from the Dietitian Collaborative and her Voxer chat supports for dietitian entrepreneurs. Now, Justin couldn't really do a whole lot from work. And on top of it, he was coming down with a cold, so both of us were in a position to really need some extra TLC. And also to be the ones that we're leaning on for that, respectively. But he could empathize. He could understand what was going on with me that day and know what we'd be up against that night. Not that he was surprised. Like I said, it was a pretty exhausting weekend, and he knew that I had a long week, a stressful week ahead of me. But bottom line, if you have a person, text them. Not for help or advice, but to be seen. Again, I also mentioned I communicated to my support pod what I was experiencing, and I made it very clear that I was not in a position to problem solve. It was tempting, right? Of course, there's a fixer part of me that's like, okay, things are rough. What are we going to do about it? But I could tell that wasn't what I needed right then and there. What I really needed was to regulate my nervous system. I needed support. So then after I sent my message out to the Voxer chat, I did something that could have turned out horribly, but actually wound up working out pretty well. I went to Google and I started typing in what to do when everything feels like it's, and it auto-filled to falling apart. To be fair, my initial thought was to Google it kind of in relationship to my business, like what to do when everything feels like it's failing in your business or something like that. Thinking that maybe there was an inspiring article about feeling like your business is a shit show. But when I auto-filled to that, I thought, that does kind of encapsulate how I'm feeling right now. Let's get started there. As an aside, I am really glad that I did start with this one. Again, it could have gone very wrong. But later, out of curiosity, I did try to Google this feeling in relation to business. You know, what to do when it feels like everything is falling apart in your business, what to do when it feels like your business is failing. And it was an endless collection of action-oriented articles, like hire a coach or do more market research and whatnot. It either didn't apply to my business, since I'm a one-woman show, I don't sell a product. There were a lot of tips that simply weren't relevant to the work that I do. Or it was stuff that I already know or I already do, or I wasn't in a place in that moment to implement. So anyway, I wound up Googling what to do when everything feels like it's falling apart. And as an aside, I'm now getting lots of targeted ads for online therapy and psychiatry services, which is cool. But I did find this one article on Medium by Stephanie St. Clair called How to Pick Yourself Up When Life is Falling Apart and You're Not Coping Well. I'll include it in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself, because a lot of what I did next was pulled directly from that article. So I scanned through it and I decided, you know what? I'm going to try this as a blueprint, because I wouldn't be me if I didn't interpret a random article on the internet as literally as possible. And because I had basically thrown my to-do list out the window for the day, so I had an entire day at my disposal. And on top of that, I was hosting a workshop that night. If any of you recall my spring equinox workshop, this was that Monday. And I very much wanted to set myself up as best as I could to be able to lead that with a clear head. So I committed. That's an important aside that I want to touch base on another episode. Probably not this month. Actually, definitely not this month, because I don't have a script written out for it. But I really want to touch on this concept of how do we know when, as helping professionals, we are too in the depths of our own dilemmas to ethically show up for others? As in, when do I cancel the workshops or stop seeing clients because of my mental health versus when is it okay to keep going? That's a really important conversation that I don't think we talk about nearly enough, and it's one that I take very seriously. So I do want to come back to that, maybe next month. So for now, let's get back to the article. The first suggestion in the article was, don't be afraid to feel it. At the time, I was in the midst of sobbing still, so, you know, check. Did that one. After that, it suggests writing it out exactly as it is. I popped open a Word document. It probably would have been more poetic to do pen and paper, but I would have had to have gone downstairs for that, so I used what I had. Plain Word document. And I just let it all out. The fears, the anxieties, the frustration, all of it. The article suggests after that, writing what you're hoping the future will look like, or turning to your future self or higher consciousness for some words of wisdom. I didn't really feel as though I was in the right place for that. I found that a bit hard, and it felt like I was kind of jumping into fix-it mode when I attempted it. So I wrote down a few things, but mostly decided I was going to move on and not harp on that one piece. So the third suggestion was to go for a 30 to 45 minute walk. So I did. I bundled up. It was at the time just below freezing out, and I went for a walk. And honestly, that more than anything else really did help. Over the summer, I tend to go for walks at least once a week, really long ones, wandering through the neighborhood, getting the fresh air. There are some nice quiet side streets around my neighborhood with lots of woods, even a pond or two. But I basically stopped over the winter, and I was reminded how much I love being out in the fresh air. My mind wandered in and out of thinking about the business, but mostly I reminded myself, there will be a time for problem solving. And that isn't now. There's also something very distinct about the air and how it changes from one season to the next. Have you ever stopped to think about that? It may have been below freezing out, but it was still unmistakably the first day of spring. Winter air is crisper. Spring air, I don't know, maybe it's the pollen that I'm starting to smell. Whatever it is, it starts to smell a little more fragrant, a little fuller, even before trees and flowers have actually started to bloom. And it was really nice to start to notice that, to have something to observe and focus on. By the time I got back from that walk, it was almost time for my noon Instagram posting, which usually takes me around 30 minutes all in for all of the, you know, hoops that you're supposed to jump through for the algorithm. So in that time leading up to it, I had a little bit of time, maybe 30, 40 minutes before that Instagram posting, and then the time while I was doing it. So I decided to turn on a podcast. I turned on Jessica Lignato's Ghost of a Podcast. Each Sunday, she releases an overview of the astrology for the week ahead. And I thought, you know, it's the spring equinox. The next day was the full moon. It's not a bad idea for me to hear her interpretation of these events. It might offer some clarity or validation, and I had a little time to kill. In the episode, she really emphasized focusing on getting curious about our motivations and our intentions, rather than setting a standard goal-type intention, as is normally the case around a new moon. So rather than trying to outright manifest something, to get really clear on the motives behind the thing that you want to manifest, which opened up some interesting thought lines for me throughout the rest of the day and honestly helped stop me from going down the fix-it, goal-oriented path. So once I finished my Instagram work and listening to her podcast episode, I ran a bath. I added some bath milk and a bath bomb and got in. Step 4 of the article recommends box breathing, which I decided to do in the bath with some meditative music in the background. Now, the author does note that some meditation music brings out more sadness in them in particular. So that is something to consider, but especially while paired with the focus on my breath, I really didn't notice that, and it was helpful to have some background noise, I should say. From there, the article suggests visualizing your best day. And honestly, when I stopped to think about it, I realized I was kind of living it. I had a slow start to the morning. I had time in fresh air. I had a bath. I had tons of self-care and nurturing. I don't know exactly how a business fits into that at the moment, but by this point in the afternoon, I was actually feeling incredibly grounded and supported. Then step six, but step in quotes, because I don't know that these are really meant to be linear steps by any means, but the sixth item on the list was to give advice to an imaginary stranger. As should come as no surprise based on what I've been saying in the episode so far, I had trouble with this. It was another indication that I wasn't ready for problem solving or fixing. I needed to sit in the suck of it for a little bit longer. After that, I took a nap, which I never do, but I was feeling pretty exhausted. The article recommended a 24-minute nap specifically. I didn't bother to look into the rationale behind that. I just said, cool, good enough for me. And I set my alarm and curled up in bed. Originally, anecdote, on the side, I tried to curl up on the couch with Toby, but he made it very clear that he had zero interest in moving his body to make room for me. Please tell me how the smallest living creature in my house manages to take up the most space everywhere. He is like the king of dog man spreading. So I napped in my bed, which is probably better, and it felt really nice. And it was at that point that I decided to take a break. There were things that were on the list that I didn't get to at that point, but it was getting close to when Justin was going to be getting home, and I wanted a little bit of a break, a dinner break, all of that good stuff. I did at this point, in full transparency, scroll on TikTok a little bit, which is not the most recommended activity on a day like this, but I was very mindful of scrolling past some of like the heavier like political or activism related content, focusing instead on like humor and animal videos that came up. Again, in general, social media is one of those things that we want to limit or avoid when we're feeling this way, as it can be a black hole and it can be a bit of an escapist route rather than, you know, really sitting with your feelings themselves. And while escapism can absolutely have its place, I knew that adding anxiety or existential dread or anger over all of the other shit happening in the world was not going to be supportive for how I was feeling. So I was, like I said, very careful and kept checking in on how I was feeling with the scrolling and had limits on it. As soon as Justin got home, I turned it off. And really, honestly, in the end, that day felt so wholesome all throughout it. The workshop went very well. I got to bed at a reasonable hour. I slept in the morning as of writing this. And I woke up feeling maybe not ready to face some of the bigger questions related to my business, but with that creative spirit that was missing the day before. And I sat down and here I am writing this script out. I know that I have Celestina's Voxer support group to lean on for solutions when I'm ready. And at the time of writing this, my therapist tomorrow, at this point of recording this, I've already met with my therapist and talked extensively about it. And she always has plenty of nuggets to dig into and help me explore. I don't know what the future of this business holds. I don't know exactly where I'm going to go to address the anxieties that I was feeling that day. I do know that what I'm experiencing is part of a shared experience with many other dietitians and many other business owners. I know that I have options to try and turn to when I'm ready. And I know that whatever I choose is not a reflection of myself. And by that I mean, if I choose not to continue the business or I choose to scale back or change it in some significant way, that isn't a reflection on my worth or my abilities. There is no morality behind that choice. And I know to give myself grace for having a really rough day at the start of a long and stressful week, at the tail end of a long and emotional weekend. For me, life isn't about not having days like that. In fact, honestly, some of my worst days have also been some of my best and most nurturing ones. This is not the first time that I felt some deep and powerful emotions and responded to them with radical self-care that actually created a wonderfully supportive day for myself, and also a renewed and unblocked sense of creativity. In that sense, I've learned not to shy away from bad days. Not that I gleefully welcome in trauma or tragedy, of course not. And I certainly can't say that I respond to every single hard day with such a commitment to self-care. Some days I spiral down a rabbit hole of my own despair, the same as anyone else. And yet, oftentimes, those moments are the ones that remind me of what's truly important to me. Oftentimes, those moments feel more aligned for me than any great, amazing, serendipitous day could. Of course, it's also easy to wax poetic about something in hindsight with all of the grace and perspective that time and distance allows. Even time and distance of a few hours or a day or two. So if you're in the thick of it as you're listening to this, and you don't feel particularly grateful for the shitty day or month or year that you're experiencing, I hear you. I see you. And I've been there too. What can you do to slow down and ask yourself what you need? Maybe not to fix it, not to make it go away, but rather to be in it with yourself, to regulate your nervous system, to radically care for yourself, and to see yourself through it to the end. And if you do need support, reach out. Sign up for my masterclass on rage if that feels relevant. Reach out for other options of support. Because as much as I want you to show up for yourself, you don't have to be the only one showing up ever. You do not have to get through this alone. Take care of yourself. And perhaps even more importantly, find the person or the people you can surround yourself with who will take care of you too. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Empowering Dietitians podcast. If you liked what you heard, it would mean the world to me if you would rate it and leave a quick review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This quick action is one of the best ways you can support the podcast, help new dietitians find it, and show potential advertisers and guests the impact this show has on listeners. And if you're looking for a little more from Empowering Dietitians, check out my upcoming masterclass on April 25th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Channeling Dietitian Rage, From Resentment Toward Integrity. Anger can be a powerful and healthy emotional experience, or it can keep us stuck in bitterness, resentment, and cynicism, particularly when in response to big systemic issues like hustle culture. In this masterclass, pending one ethics CEU from CDR, we will build on your foundational understanding of hustle culture to acknowledge and unpack your emotional reaction to it, so that you can get unstuck from rage and start channeling it in a way that feels aligned, effective, and purpose-driven. Learn more and register at www.empoweringdietitians.com/masterclass. That's www.empoweringdietitians.com/masterclass.